UAL testing.
And 4 RJN, it's working.
Animals monitoring.
4 IQ and 0 TR.
Good morning, Bill. 55 degrees up here now. 35% humidity. 6 mph wind out of the northwest. It's a pretty day. We already been to the dump.
Oh, well, you're running late.
No, we just got done with eating breakfast, actually. We were late doing that because Bernice decided she wanted to bake a pizza for my nephew up in Boston. So we have to get that down to FedEx before, 4 o'clock, I think? Yeah, so that it'll be up there in 2 days.
What is it she's making?
She says basically it's a nut roll. It's about the size of a loaf of bread. And Mike, he just loves it. It's a German thing. And it's called Potica. P-O-T-I-C-A, I think is the spelling.
I think you were telling me about that one time before, not long ago, that she was making some of that. I kept thinking you were saying pizza. Yeah, I remember that. So maybe that was before Thanksgiving. I don't remember.
Bill, because she's always baking something. We had homemade ice cream and what was that thing you made yesterday or day before? It's kind of an apple and cherry cake like. Boy, that was yummy. Sort of resembled cobbler.
Cobbler. The other day, Lane bought me a Dutch apple crumble pie. Oh my gosh, that was so good. I think she got it from Fresh Market or even Publix. One of the two. Oh my goodness, was that ever good?
Bernice, that's her hobby, reading recipes. And boy, she does a wonderful job, I'll tell you that. Well, we just opted for a light breakfast, and then we'll eat lunch probably, or dinner about 3 o'clock. We don't really eat what you call supper. Our supper's in the afternoon, and then we don't eat any at night. And it kind of helps with the acid reflux and stuff like that. But then about 8 o'clock last night while watching TV, we had that stuff like cobbler and some homemade ice cream. So I don't know if that does a lot of good.
Best thing about being retired, you can have a schedule like that. We do the same thing. We eat between 10:30 and 11. That kind of becomes our brunch. I just had my ears lowered, but just before I left, I had breakfast, lunch, whatever you want to call it, brunch. Had 2 boiled eggs, a couple slices of toast. I love that. These are soft boiled eggs, or semi soft, and on buttered toast. I love that. But and then around 4 or 5 o'clock, it's kind of you go in the refrigerator and you just get whatever you want. There's always leftovers or something to eat in there. It's not a normally, unless it's maybe on a weekend or something, it's not a formal dinner. You just go get what you want, when you want. It's fine with me. That's the way I like it. And we rarely eat after. Yeah. You can tell who's on the telephone texting because they set at the green light for about 5 minutes.
Burns me up. And then it makes everybody else miss the light. I wish they would inhibit texting while you're driving entirely. And they could do it. These phone companies just don't. If they'd all get together and do that all at once, it sure save a lot of people's lives and a lot of misery.
That never happened, then. Never. It's just like, well, just a lot of things. Can't make people wear masks, even in a big crowd. There's just some things that just never happened.
I'm developing a new RNA for a vaccine for stupid as soon as I get done with this COVID-19 bill.
Yep.
Yeah, you go over to Sam's or Costco's or anything, and they'll wear a mask to get through the door and then pull it off after they get inside. But I will say this, the greater majority of people now are wearing them, it seems like.
I said in the grocery stores are pretty good. The places like Publix, you know, the Fresh Market, places like that, they're pretty good. I rarely see somebody without it, but I saw one person in my church. He walked in, had no mask, and clearly, this was, I think, Fresh Market, and probably about 3 or 4 months ago, walked in there, and this is one of our members who should be setting the example. Anyway, I won't go into it, but anyway, he goes in there, has no mask on, just walks around. Only one I saw there, he didn't see us, later myself, we had a mask on. And then he goes to the checkout. We check out right after him. He looks up, sees us. He says, I forgot my mask. You know, I never said anything. I never asked him if he quite didn't have a mask on. But it was obvious he was shocked to see us there. I tell you, and basically that whole congregation's like that. They've already opened back up. They've been open for a long time, and they're having their regular, I call it luncheon after the main service. Hardly anybody's wearing masks, and most of these people are as old as I am. I'm thinking, boy, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But you can't fix stupidity. By the way, I stopped going to that church just because of that. It's unbelievable.
IQ. Yes, Bill, I don't blame you. Churches have become a real hot spot for it. My friend up in Kansas, they lost two people they know in their church, and several others have been infected. And it's a known fact that churches are getting real bad about it. That's a shame. They should know better. This last weekend, I think one day they had over 4,000 cases of COVID-19. Just raised exponentially since Thanksgiving.
I can see why. Well, that's a shame. You can't erase stupidity.
About it, and it's not the idea of individualism to where I don't have to do this. The fact is, the people that are not wearing a mask are exposing people with health potentials, even though they don't care anything about themselves. They're taking the chance of infecting others, especially elderly. And I see where Governor Haley's sister-in-law died of COVID, and she was 53 years old.
Well, I had a neighbor about 2 days ago talk to me. At least we were at a distance. I was out in the front yard getting rid of leaves, and she came and talked to me. I kind of backed away from her a little bit, but she gave me a lecture why she doesn't wear a mask, and nobody can make her wear a mask, and she was telling me about how somebody was yelling at her at one of the grocery stores because she didn't wear a mask, and by golly, she wasn't going to wear one.
One of those stupid pills. Smart pill. Slap upside the head. Yeah, they walk among us, and they just don't listen. This stuff's bad. Heck, we stayed here and didn't have a Thanksgiving meal with our kids, and we certainly would have loved to, but they'd been out and about, and they're playing basketball, and they're playing football. The one that really gets me is Amy. Is a very smart young lady. Even she is my daughter, our daughter. She's going to take Isaac to Fort Lauderdale first part of January. And it's for a middle school football game that he was invited to. Well, you know, the bottom line there is money. And why would you go to Fort Lauderdale, which has a population of like 183,000, and the COVID is over the top there, and ride on an airplane down there with my grandson, risking my daughter, my grandson, her husband's wife, the youngest grandson, Jordan, are risking his brother and his mom, is the way I look at it. And I told her that wasn't just stupid, it was reckless. Well, you might as well talk to the wall.
That intelligence, it has to do with arrogance, really. Not using the brains you got and saying, that's not going to happen to me. Oh, my goodness. It's just, a lot of it's arrogance. I call it arrogance. And you can't make me do it, and you ain't not going to tell me what to do. Cut your nose off to spite your face. So, anyway, exactly my nephew's wife is my older brother's son's wife. Is taking her three kids and putting them on an airplane. They're leaving Kansas City, Kansas, where they live. They're flying out to California to see her parents. And she goes everywhere with them. They were down here in South Carolina not long ago, driving all over the place, staying in motels. I mean, just, it's not going to bother me. And she's a graduate engineer. So is her husband. Both of them went to Clemson. That's not saying much for them, I guess. But totally ignoring all that. I just can't believe it.
DR. Well, Bill, other than on the 777 and the 787, to my knowledge, air comes off of like the third or fourth stage in the compressor area of the planes. And so it's a matter of economics. They only recirculate 40% of the air in the cabin for economic reasons, because it costs more the more air you have to bring in from the compressors. So, therefore, you're sitting in a petri dish, as far as I'm concerned, mask or not, and they're not, they're stopping this, leaving the middle seat open now.
And even if the planes are fine, the airports are just the same situation. I mean, you're touching rails, you're touching everything, you know, you ran all these people. Are you just stupid?
Biden says he's going to put a mask thing on for 100 days or something like that. Good luck with that one. Well, on a brighter note, I had a call from KD5KX, I think is his call, up in he's in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma now. And I hadn't heard from Mike in years. He was an engineer that traveled around our area. And he'd go into businesses and get their machine tools straightened out, or he'd marry PLCs to machines, you know, CNC machines and that. One of the brightest young men I ever been around in my life. I had to call him three or four times in the 32 years I was up there at McNally's and at that job. And, I really enjoyed him. And he found me through the ARRL and sent me his phone number and that. And he called me for the second time yesterday, and he's getting back into ham radio. And that sucker bought one of those new 890Ss. Boy, those look beautiful to me. I'm not going to get one, but I'll tell you what, if I was going to choose one, I think that's what I'd choose.
They have great radios. They have great specs. You won't find a radio that's got better specs. Some people complain because it doesn't have the same receiver as me. It doesn't matter. I've never had one. But you can glue your 890 right off it and have it like a second receiver. I mean, have complete another rig operating with it. They are nice radios. I hear a lot of people talk about them on the air. But anyway, I am here at Publix. I need to go by the driving window and pick up a prescription. So I'll give you a call back here in a minute. M4IQ.
Okay, Bill. Now, you got a little bit scratchy there. 73, great to hear you today. N4IQ, N0TR's clear.
N4DJC.
Good morning, Jerry. I heard John on here earlier, too. He went back to a guy that was doing a test, but he never did answer. I was over there feeding my face. How's your day going, Jerry?
So far, wife got all the Christmas stuff out yesterday, finally got everything up. My house looks a little more cheerful anyway. Yeah, I've been working a little satellite stuff. I worked a couple more this morning, so feel pretty good about that. But I was listening to you talking about that at 890. A really good friend of mine. He worked for HRO for a long time. His name is Phil Parton, and he's a national sales manager for Kenwood. And I haven't talked to him lately. I used to keep in touch with him pretty often. But, you know, one thing about Kenwood, they don't come out with rigs very often. But when they do, they come out with some doozies.
This is N0TR. Yeah, well, people like Bill, he can really benefit from it because he knows how to get 100%. Out of a radio, Jerry. He's amazing. His radio room looks like the war room out there in Colorado. And he knows how to use them too, believe me. Well, I really like it, but I have a 590S that's sitting here that I don't use that I'd ought to sell, and I haven't. And I have a 590SG that I just dearly love. And it does everything in the world I want to do. And I have, thanks to Bill, I have a good display that I run on a 27-inch screen off of it for my spectrum display. And so it's much larger than what you would get on a radio. I think that's a TFT display on that 890. But the specs on it are incredible. Although all of them I can't decipher, but I know Bill can. And from what I read about it, it's a great radio. It makes a whole lot more sense than the 990 does.
Yeah, some of that stuff is just out of my league, and I'd probably have it with a 590 or something like that. A good radio is. I'm hoping that one of these days that Kenwood upgrades their mobile rig, the D710G. They got those on board the space station now. They got about four or five of them up there. They work good, but, you know, that's old. I think they came out about 10 years ago or more, maybe. this kind of old technology, but I'm hoping they come out with something a little nicer, kind of like that D-74 Kenwood handheld. But I've been happy with this Yazoo so far. It's been a good rig, you know, for a base rig, mobile type base rig. It's been pretty good. The audio's not as good on it, and some of the other stuff's not quite as good. But the screen's easier to read, and it's a little simpler for me to operate.
Jerry, when you work satellites, which I never have, do you have those rotators with the 3 or 4 antennas on them and it follows the satellite, or you just try to get him when he comes over the horizon?
W2 T-Mobile.
Good morning to you.
Might as well go ahead and answer Tom's question. I just jumped in the car.
I'll be kind of brief. Tom, what I have is I'm running this AZ300, it's a dual band, and it has full duplex. So when I work the space station has a APRS digipeater on it, which I use sometimes. It's turned off right now. It also has a voice repeater that goes up on 145.990 and comes back crossband on 437.800 or so. You have to accommodate the Doppler. And actually, what I have in my house is all I've ever used, which is it's an elk, and it's actually they call it a log periodic, but yeah, it's just basically a voltage on a dipole, and it's got five elements. It's only with the boom ones, only about 22 inches long, and I have it set up on a PVC stand. And it's got a 22.5 degree angle on it, and I just use it inside the house here, and I have a program that tracks it, and I just move it by hand. So I've got the Armstrong method. But it's so light and small, I can even go outside with it in hand, you know, holding my hand and track them that way with a handheld. But I don't. It's been too cool to get out there like that now. But mine's a very simple setup. But it's for that new. A new repeater set up and an APRS, they run so, you know, at one time they only ran like a watt or two, and now the repeater's running 4 or 5 watts, and these signals are loud. I mean, it sounds like a local repeater coming over, and I said, I'm going to have to move the antenna a whole lot. I've got it, I don't run it horizontal, I run it kind of at a 45 degree angle between horizontal and vertical, and I have it twisted around. But it seems to work pretty well, and it's probably the cheapest way to get into it, I guess.
Okay. Well, that sounds neat. So, I'll turn it to Rusty first here, but what kind of a response do you get? An automated response, I think is what you were saying, and or an acknowledgement, and then I suppose it's on Logbook of the World. I don't know. But it sounds interesting. However brief the encounters might be, I guess they come over every couple of hours, so you can have several tries at them during the day. I've never done that. I've watched for satellites and things like that a lot of times, and the space station, but never ever tried to communicate with one. However, I know you can. And back when I took the extra class test many moons ago, satellite information was a lot of it that I didn't even use, but you had to memorize it. And it was kind of interesting, but I never did try it. Well, good morning, Rusty. 56 degrees here. Go ahead.
Yep, Roger. Well, it's reading 49 over here where I am. Headed back to the house. I had to go right up to the Publix to pick up a couple of items that I was short that I needed. And anyway, and good morning to both of y'all. And talking about satellite, I ran into a guy down in up in Michigan when I was up there visiting one year. Went to their field day event. And they had a guy up there, and he had they set up a radio out on a balcony-like thing, a little porch where they had a second floor entrance to this building, and they set up a radio out there, and he had a little handheld set of antennas, and he used those to work the satellite. He did some stuff through the satellite. And he also was able to get tuned around and made a contact with the space station. And I thought that was kind of cool. I'd never seen anybody do it with a small antenna, but he had one of those little handheld antennas, and he'd hold it up, aim it where he knew it had to go, and darn if he didn't make a few contacts. You know, wasn't a lot of them, but he was able to get them, and it was interesting hearing them because they were kind of loud and everything. Never gotten into it myself, just haven't taking the time to do it. I'm like Tom. Had to study a lot of that stuff to be on the extra class exam, and it, you know, it wasn't anything I did or have done or was really interested in. Excuse me, dry mouth. Hate weather like today. Anyway, and on top of the morning to both of you. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, that's a similar type of situation. I've got mine. You can hold it. It only weighs about 18 ounces. You can just hold it in your hand and follow the satellite. When you can get an app for your iPhone or iPad or whatever, Android or whatever, and it'll show you where it is in the sky. You know, it'll track it as it goes across, and you can elevate it to the proper elevation and follow the azimuth across the whole sky. Generally, with this one is small. It's only like the boom is real small, and it's just basically a quarter wave on each side of the five elements. So it works real well. And it's a dual band, so I don't have to have a duplexer running into it since it's log periodic. I don't have to run separate lines or duplexers. So I can run about 50 watts into it if I don't hand hold it at that power. But Tom, the automated stuff is the APRS digipeater. You just send a signal up and you'll get a response from somebody, from another station somewhere. And I saw digital type, but the voice repeater stuff that day, you talk to other hams. I mean, this is kind of like a DX deal. You change your call signs and your grid squares and get confirmation, and that's it. Sometimes the satellite is not, sometimes some of these satellites are not very busy. You actually have a key show on them, but most of them are so busy with thousands of people trying to get in. And since it's FM, you just got to capture that signal and get on and go on to the next one, sort of thing. But you actually talk to other hams. It's not automated. The force repeater is not automated. It's just like a repeater here, terrestrial repeater here. Is there a TR in 4DJC?
DJC with W2T, N0TR. Well, Bernice is mixing up here now, so I need to run down the hall anyways, guys. I think you might pick up Bill in 4IQ out there. He's mobile. And I'll sign, and then when I come back on, I'll go down to the other radio room in the basement. Because Petitza is taking the precedence over my radioing. See you guys later. And nice talking to y'all. W2T and 0TR, clear.
Okay, well, I worked out just fine because I'm just about to pull back into the yard, so I'm going to go ahead and say 732 because I got some groceries and all to unload and get back in the house. Because it's 51 degrees over here by the house now, so it's warmed up. Only supposed to get up 53 today. Anyway, Jerry, good to talk to you. And like he says, Bill's out there somewhere. You might holler at him, N4IQ. And I'll leave it with you, and I'll maybe catch you later. 73's W2T clear.
Guys, you have a good afternoon, and we'll probably talk to you sometime later today. N0TR and W2T, I think that's right. I always get your call messed up, Rusty, but anyway, you guys have a good afternoon. If Bill's still in there, you can jump right in.
Hey, folks.
You got your takeout fixed up now, Bill? N4DJC.
EEE. Good afternoon.
AE4TEE, is that correct?
Echo, Oscar 4, Echo, Echo, Echo.
That time, Kilo Oscar 4, Echo, Echo, Echo. This is M4DJC. Hope you're having a good day. It's a little nippy out there today, but it's warmed up some.
Did warm up some. We've been working outside replacing the water pipe at a water treatment plant, so it was a bit frosty this morning.
There's some work with water in this kind of temperature. It just doesn't matter whether it's in the pipe or out of the pipe.
It's just being outside in general that kind of stinks.
I've been retired about almost 10 years now, so I really have to get outside unless I want to. When the weather's cold, I stay inside.
Working outside hasn't changed much since you retired. It still stinks. They do have clothing that'll help, but it only helps a little.
I worked in the textile business for 35 years, so I was inside most of the time, but I traveled the last 15 years. I traveled a lot. But my good friend of mine worked for the power company, and he was up on the lines a lot, and that was a tough job when the weather was bad.
I firmly believe them gentlemen that are out there on them lines doing not only a dangerous job like that, but a cold, high, you need to be decently educated as well. But them guys have earned every last penny they make.
A friend of mine lives in Indiana that, I think he's coming up for retirement about 2 years, but he does work on these TV transmission towers. He gets up there and changes the lights on them and that sort of thing, and he sent me some pictures from, I think I've been in airplanes that flew lower than where he's standing at, because it makes me dizzy just thinking about it.
I could never bring myself to be any further than 20, let alone 30 feet off the ground. So, I guess you'd really have to trust your equipment and everything that you've got on you to protect you. So, I don't know. That'd be a heck no for me from that high.
Same class with these high iron workers that get on these buildings. Yeah, they walk around up there like there's nothing to it. But I just don't have the fortitude for that. He tells me that he said, after you get above 40, 50 feet, it doesn't make any difference anyway. He said, if you fall, you're gonna get hurt or killed anyway. But he wears all this, he has all this protective gear, clamps on you, Australian clamps on everything, and it's all shackled up and that sort of thing. But the thing is these towers are so tall. 2,500 feet or more. Some of them maybe taller than that where he's working. But he said just the stamina to climb up there it takes a lot of stamina just to climb up that high on a ladder. So they're usually enclosed and that sort of thing. But you still have to get out exposed to change. Those bulls are huge too. I mean some of them, they were big as basketballs that he was changing out.
One in person, but that would be a sight to see.
Hey, but it sure looked big to me, and he has to haul up, and there's more than one, I think. I think there's several of them on those towers. And he said, they last a long time. He said, as soon as that thing's got some type of electronic notification system, I guess, as soon as that thing gets out, is dead or doesn't work, anyway, a lot of times they have backup. He said, but you got to get back up there within a certain period of time to get it back operating again. And because he said they'll find the crap out of you if you don't get them fixed.
I remember reading a little bit about the, that would have been some years ago reading the ham rules on heights of towers and bulbs and all that stuff, but I would imagine if you let a bulb go out and a plane happened to clip it, you're in some deep stuff.
Yeah, they don't usually have problems with airplanes. They said, you know, some of these ultralights have trouble with those. He said, but the thing that they fear the most, especially, he's in a kind of a flat part of the state in Indiana. He said, hot air balloons. He said, they don't have any control over it. A lot of guys get up there and don't know what they're doing with them. He said, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it is an absolute disaster.
Up in, let's see, it's been Mount Pleasant, Indiana, but it's outside of Muncie on the way to Richmond on Highway 35. And it is some straight, flat, a little bit of hills here and there, but, you know, we go outside and watch the hot air balloons.
I don't think he's had to mess with anything that had where they had an accident or anything. I think he's been doing it now for 25 years or so. And he's looking for, I think he retired in a couple of years. He's looking forward to getting out of that day where he can enjoy himself. He's a big fisherman. He catches huge muskies. I mean, he catches trophy, you know, 48, 50 inch long, you know, big fish. And that's what he does for his, that's his other hobby, you know, besides, just doing outdoor stuff like that. But he is a really, really good fisherman, evidently, because he'll catch two or three almost every time he goes out, which is really unusual for a muskie hunter.
Catch when I go out fishing is usually a tree, a branch, a rock, got a couple tires, and a few other oddball things in the water. They put up a heck of a fight. They usually end up breaking the string, so that's all I catch when I go fishing.
And they always say they call it, that's why they call it fishing and not catching. But I don't fish as much as I did at one time, but I used to really enjoy it. Enjoy trout fishing and a little advanced fishing, my fur trout. But anyway, this is good to talk to you. I got to jump out down here and go downstairs and grab me a bite to eat. I'm hoping my wife is going to be cooking a pizza here in a few minutes. But it's nice talking with you. The name is Jerry, and the call is N4DJC, and I believe, I remember, see if I can get it right. Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Echo Echo, is that correct?
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Echo Echo. I'm pulling up to a store myself, so I'll be saying 73s and be off again. But it was nice talking to you. Have a good evening.
JQX. 4JQX. Somebody give me a quick radio check.
4JQA and 4DJC. Sound fine.
Thank you, sir. I was having some antenna trouble last night, and I was just messing with it this morning. I was afraid I'd screwed it up.
Hey, just a tiny bit scratchy, but not much at all. I guess it may be depending on your location, but it sounds good, perfectly legible, and the audio sounds good.
KO4JQX, 73 D-Bay.
See, clear.